Get out of my document, punk. The cow was going angry. It was just like, hey, there's food there. I would like the food. Can I have the food?
No, it would, I mean, gross.
Cows are trendy. Who doesn't like a cow? Greetings and welcome to another potentially useful episode of the TCAP Sloop podcast. My name is Larry Burden and she's ready to take over podcast production duties. It's Danielle Brostrom. After several stress-inducing weeks at TCAP Sloop Towers, we decided to keep this episode light by focusing on some great tech tools to get you through the stretch run of the school year. So let's start the calming process by inhaling this week's TCAP Sloop moment of Zen. Be like a duck, calm on the surface, but paddling like the Dickens underneath. Michael Caine. So this is going to be an old school, like full on tech tool of the week episode. Share some of the things that you found. We've actually purposefully kind of avoided this type of episode throughout the year, focusing less on the tools and more about what's going on behind the tools. But you know what? It's late April. Let's have a little fun with it.
Now's a good time that if you are in the classroom and the kids are getting a little squirrely and you're getting a little squirrely and the countdown has started, everybody just needs something new and something to throw in that is engaging and fun and just different. So that's the kind of stuff I want to talk about today.
The first one? I'm just assuming this is you prepping to take over my duties, which is fine.
No, that is not what's going to happen, Larry. So the first one actually came up because I had a teacher who wants to do some podcasting in their classroom, and they reached out, and I don't know anything about podcasting in the classroom. That's not a strength of mine. I know that we have a podcast, but you do all the magical work, Larry. You do all the things. So I was trying to find a way that an educator could do a podcast with their students so they could have students sharing different topics. So, you know, it's got to be easy. It's got to be compliant with security and all that stuff. And it's got to be something that works. And this came from a recommendation from our REMC friends that they've been using Canva. So Canva, you can create a podcast within Canva. They have free and customizable podcast templates that you can use that, again, they're beautiful. They make you look like a fancy pansy designer. And then there is a way that you can record.
I'm not offended by that comment at all.
The fancy designer.
Fancy pansy.
Sorry. I did say that, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Sorry. You can edit that out. It's okay.
But I won't.
You can add your voice in it, and then there's music that you can add in the intro music, and if you want to add in a little ba-dum-ching in the middle, you can do that. It's really neat how you can do some lo-fi, easy editing within Canva and use it for like a podcast template. And I thought, what a great way to have students kind of dive in, even if you wanted to do like QR codes where you can, you know, have a QR code so they can listen to the podcast when they do the QR code. Like, this is a great project for students, especially for this time of year. So Canva for podcasting, and I've got some great links that show how to do it.
The link was great. The tutorial that you had was great. And I think he did a really good thing because there's been some other tutorials on this that don't really talk about what a podcast is, or we kind of mention it, that we're not talking about putting your student work on Spotify.
Right.
This is not creating a podcast that you're going to find on iTunes. This is getting your students comfortable in an audio medium, giving them an opportunity to personalize their learning, a different way to demonstrate their learning.
Yes.
Which is great because some students might be more comfortable in this medium. And if you're getting them comfortable with it at an early age or really at any age, it's great. And this is relatively easy to do. I was really impressed with what Canva had on offer here. The interface was simple. The options and opportunities were simple. How to redo the recording was relatively simple. The fact that there are sound effects built in, there's music beds built in, easily searchable. It is something with a little practice, you could definitely get your students to do and give them an opportunity to show their learning in a different way, which is great this time of the year.
For sure. I think fourth grade and above could do this on their own after you taught them how to do it. I think if you wanted to do something in like the K-3 realm, the teacher would need to do a lot of that front loading, but I still think it would be doable if you wanted to share like students reading with parents. This would be a really, really fun way to do it. So Canva for podcasting. Who knew that Canva, this free tool that we can get in the classroom, is like amazing.
So easy. Danielle could do it.
It is so easy. I do feel like a podcast pro now, Larry, so watch out.
After this many years, you should hopefully feel like
a podcast pro. No, but I don't do the fancy editing, but maybe I can do a little bit on Canva. The next thing I want to share, we had a meeting the other day with Google. Well, first of all, they started off sharing some of their Chromebooks, some of the Chromebook pluses that they are creating specifically for teachers. So that was really nifty that these Chromebooks were larger and built to look more like an actual device that a teacher would use, but they had the Chromebook interface. So you had access to like all the Chromebook accessibility features and all the cool things that they've done to Chromebooks to make them better for teaching and learning. Side note, that was really darn cool.
Are teachers panicking right now? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, they were 100% just, they sent them to us. They sent us three. It's kind of what they're doing now. They will send you three Chromebooks to kind of look at and see so you can have an idea of what they can do. But they were really neat. So then we started talking about what other things are new within Google. So Google was sharing practice sets, which if you haven't looked at Google Classroom in a while, which I hadn't, the practice sets thing is really, really cool. It's almost like you're creating the Google form, like a quiz, like a skills review, whatever, within the Google Classroom. And then as you're creating the questions, AI will go out and like sort and find and catalog and attach these different resources. So videos from YouTube, worksheets, just blog pages that talk about how to do the problem, like all these extra help materials to that specific problem. So it was incredible how they're using AI within Google Classroom. So if a student gets, you know, it's asked to simplify the expression in a math question. If the student gets that question wrong, all of these AI resources will come up that the teacher didn't have to go out and find. The teacher can go out and find, and they can attach things that they've created. But the student's going to have that extra help kind of built right into that problem, into that exercise. I thought that was really, really neat. And then the way that they can
get... That's a time saver.
It's such a time saver. And then there's a whole entire dashboard with insights, because obviously there's a lot of interesting things that are happening in the background to gather that data, like how many kids got this specific strand wrong and what I could do to help them understand that specific topic.
This is really interesting. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about AI this year, and we've talked about ChatGPT, and you know, we haven't spent a lot of time on Gemini or some of the other ones, but the concept has been you go to the chatbot and ask it a question, as opposed to going to the app that you've typically used and the AI is embedded in it, instead of, okay, I'm going to go to ChatGPT and ask questions that I'm going to then take the answers to and bring them into my Google Classroom. It's just staying in Google Classroom and letting the AI do that 80% that we've been talking about. It's taking something that was already going to make our lives easier and more efficient when we talk about AI, and making it even more efficient by taking a step out of the AI process we thought we were going to be doing.
For sure. So instead of spending my time gathering all of these resources to help kids if they got that problem wrong, or spending all of my time looking at the students and like, okay, six students got problem number three wrong, and why did they get that wrong, and what can I bring in? Like, the AI is kind of doing all of that for you. It's even telling you like how many students attempted problem six multiple times and which students they were, and is looking for those insights across your classroom. Like, huge, huge time saver, so that you can spend your time actually working with those kids face to face rather than analyzing that data, because not all of us have that as a skill. So super impressive that it's built right into Google Classroom. And it is a part of that teaching and learning upgrade and Education Plus edition, which a lot of schools are already going to because of the increased security features anyways. So it's here. Check it out. It's likely already in your Google Classroom.
I love that.
Okay. AI test kitchen?
AI test kitchen is another fun thing from Google. It's essentially an experiment at the intersection of AI and creativity. And there are three different sections that they have. Two of them I've been using pretty heavily. The sections are music FX, image FX, and text FX. I've been using the image FX a lot when I want to create images with AI. Now, what I love about this is that it is not letting me do some images. So I've been testing it. I wanted an image of Ruth Bader Ginsburg reading an Archie comic. I'm trying to create misinformation, right? Mm-hmm. I clicked and I typed that in and it said I couldn't do it because it was against the terms of their agreement. Like, it's not letting me use specific people to create specific things. So I really liked that. And the same thing happened when I went over to the music. If I put in a specific artist, it would say, you can't do music based on a specific artist. You can create music based on a genre, based on a theme, whatever. It wouldn't include lyrics. It was more like instrumental, beautiful. But I liked that it kind of had some of those guardrails built in that we worry about when we talk about AI and creation and creativity.
I was wondering how that worked. I saw that in my brief look. I was very excited that this was a thing. But as somebody that's concerned about intellectual property,
yep.
I'm happy to hear that Google is taking intellectual property seriously in their AI. That's a step in the right direction and kind of gives me hope going forward that that is going to be, as an industry leader, something that's considered across the board and potentially becoming an industry standard going forward. So I'm glad the conversations that people are having are actually being heard and some of the concerns are being heard and we can still have a useful tool. This is a good step.
Yeah. And they state that they're using actual humans to review these AI interactions that are happening. That's exciting too. I like that they're keeping humans in the loop within that part. So it's all just experimental, but it has quickly become my favorite because I'm not able to misuse it, which I like.
Keep you safe. All right. The last one. This made me so happy.
Okay. I love fonts. I love fonts to like a nerdy point. And actually, when I was showing this to my kid this morning, she's like, oh, do you have a favorite font? Can I show you mine? And then we got talking about fonts. There was a lot of amazingness happening in my house this morning with my teenager. But
a lot of teachers like fonts.
I know.
They and might a lot like of them too much.
Teachers like Comic Sans. So this site is comicsanscriminal.com, and it is helping people like you learn to use Comic Sans appropriately. You can send this site to a friend, and it will go through and tell you how Comic Sans was created, remind you that it's meant to be used with young children and in childcare, and not to use it for things like, you know, police signs or in hospitals, that the personality and the purpose of Comic Sans is not that. So there's some alternative comic book fonts, which I like on here. There's a whole section that if you're using Comic Sans because you say that it's like helping your dyslexic kids, there are other better dyslexia fonts that they recommend on here. So I think this is a great way to help rehabilitate your Comic Sans criminal friends.
Everything on there just made me happy. There's a lot of fonts out there, and it's really easy to get really excited about a lot of the fonts or find a specific font that you really like. Poppins.
I love Poppins. It's easy to read for accessibility, Larry.
It is. But on the other side of that, for somebody with dyslexia who maybe needs the serifs, Poppins doesn't necessarily have that, though it does have good spacing.
Correct. Spacing is important.
Spacing is important. However,
Wingdings. Sorry.
The silence is deafening.
Oh.
Helvetica all day. Helvetica has a place. Has a place.
Yep. And I think does Comic Sans.
That's a good example, exactly, of understanding when it is an appropriate font. There's a reason why there's so many fonts out there, because there are certain times for all of them. Don't use them all together.
And don't use Comic Sans if you work in a hospital.
Unless it's a pediatric hospital, maybe.
Good job. So,
all right. Some inspiration. What is this? This is exciting.
So I found some things recently that were just those little inspiring, feel good things that you come across online. And the first one, Kosen recently named their superintendent of the year. He's from Mineola Public Schools. And Dr. Nagler, his video, it's a YouTube video and it's on the site and we'll link it in, but it's adorable. Did you watch it, Larry?
I did not have a
chance. Oh my gosh. So this man, it starts out and he's like, you know, professional in a suit. And he's like, so they've asked me to make a video explaining why I deserve this award and why I got this award. And he starts talking and then he goes, you know what, kids? You guys can figure this out. Just go do it. I'm going to go get a coffee or something. So the students are like, okay. So it's the students making the video and they're going around and showing the cool things that they're doing in their school. And it's like all the things that we talk about and that we think about that like, oh my gosh, if we could do this in a school, that would be amazing. Like they're doing all of it. And it just gives you goosebumps and it's inspiring, gives you ideas for things you could do in your classroom. So highly recommend take like 4 minutes and watch this video from the COSIN Superintendent of the Year, Dr. Michael Nagler. It's incredible.
I will be watching that.
The second one, U of M is doing some amazing things because of course they are. Dr. Liz Kolb, I don't know if you've heard of her before. She's continued to do amazing work. And her U of M students have worked closely with Ann Arbor Public Schools to provide classroom and real world engagement about digital wellness. This really cool digital wellness program that they're doing with the youth. It's inspiring. And it's one of those things that when you read the article, you're like, okay, how could I get something like that going here? So highly recommended. Take a look at what the U of M is doing with Ann Arbor Public Schools in the realm of digital wellness. Thank you, Liz Kolb. And then the last thing that I thought was kind of inspirational, the American Privacy Rights Act of 2024. This is currently in the legislature. There's a privacy GDPR is the one that talks about privacy over in Great Britain. And if you're reading through privacy laws, you'll read things like they have special protections for their population when it comes to privacy online. And California has special protections when it comes to privacy of their people online. And it's kind of amazing that right now there is a Privacy Rights Act that hopefully gets through the legislature that talks about giving back people in the United States some right to access correctly and export their data. It's just nice that we might actually have some of those privacy rules, laws that would help us protect our privacy that those other places have.
So the individual might have some control over their digital footprint?
I hope so. We need it. And it's always sad when you see that it is other places. It's not as stringent as like the California one, but it's definitely a step in the right direction. So I'm hoping that it gets passed.
I'm curious. I need to look at that.
Yeah.
Very curious. All right. Hey. Well, actually, we have a question. How do you keep up with trends in education? How do you stay connected? How do you keep up with trends in education? Because I don't. I will come clean. I just wait for this podcast to come through and have Danielle tell me what's new and trendy.
Amazing. Personally, I'm looking toward those leaders in our state. I'm looking toward McCall to see what McCall is doing. I'm looking at Kent ISD because they have some great ed tech folks in there. I'm looking for our REMCs and seeing what they're pushing out. And then ISTE, obviously, trying to see where they're spending their time. Those are my big places to look, but I'm curious where other people are finding their ed tech news.
I assume there's always going to be a few tech outliers in your district or in your school. Find that individual and have conversations. I think having conversations with your peers is the first place to start.
100%.
Absolutely.
And listen to this podcast.
For sure. As I just came clean and said, not keeping up. Sorry. Sorry.
Potentially useful.
All right. Hey, tech tool of the week, because we've had nothing but tech tools.
Tech tool of the week. Bluey. Just watch Bluey. Do you know Bluey? I thought everybody knew Bluey.
Okay. So here's the thing with Bluey. I miss the Bluey bandwagon.
Because you have older kids.
I have older kids. Yeah. I have a very, very good friend who has younger kids than mine. As soon as he found Bluey, he has been on me, and this is for a couple of years, when basically first year Bluey came out, he sent me best of lists, the whole thing. It's his favorite thing in the world. He is a guy's guy, and he's like, Bluey's the best show on television ever. There's a podcast I listen to on Prestige TV typically. And one of the hosts is like, Bluey's the best show on television and has been for a number of years. I've watched maybe 3 episodes. I thought they were wonderful and I found them compelling. It's just not something that speaks to me where my parenting is.
Right, right.
But do I see the value? Oh, yeah.
Oh, Bluey. So Bluey is an Australian animated television series. It's been around since like 2018. It's about a family of blue heeler dogs. There's 2 kids, Bluey and Bingo. They're like 4 and 6, I think. And then the parents, Chili and Bandit. The children are like children that you would want in your home because they are self-directed and they play together and they always ask the parents to play and they're just kind and they learn these great lessons and it's just fun. And the parents, well, kind of, they make you feel terrible because you're not playing with your kid in that way, but also you're remembering that the things that you should be doing and that you could be doing. And it's just, it's absolutely beautiful and it's real life. And the score is incredible. It's original music, but it's also sometimes it's based on another piece of music. So one of our favorite Bluey episodes, the little sister is learning to have a big girl sleep because, okay, so again, it's Australian. So they say things like cheeky and there's all these cute references, but she wants to have a big girl sleep. So she wants to sleep in her own bed that night, which consists in this whole entire night of her sleepwalking. And she ends up in bed with the dad and she's like, you know, kicking the dad, but you see it from her dreamlike point of view where she's in space and she's like running around and she's, you know, jumping off the planets. And at one point she gets really, really afraid because she's by herself out in space. And then she gets zoomed up right by the sun. And the sun is her mom's voice telling her she's always going to be there with her, even though she's not right there. And then it zooms back to the, like you can see in real life that the mom is like there in bed with the kid hugging her because she saw that she was upset. And like, it's this beautiful 6 minutes of television. And it, the score, they used part of the planet's theme, the Jupiter. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, it is just beautiful. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. Like everyone,
we prepare to cry. If you're watching Bluey, prepare to cry. And the good cries.
And a good cry. We watch it together as a family. Like we have to watch the new ones together as a family. And even my 14-year-old, like when her friends come over, they watch Bluey because they think it's like amazing and everybody has their own favorite Bluey episode. There's funny ones, there's feel kind of ones. It's emotional. It's just the best 6 to 8 minutes of TV you will have in your entire life. So watch Bluey. There was a great NPR podcast about it, about how talking it's a kid show with lessons for everyone. So we'll link that in if you are new to Bluey and you want to listen to a little bit about it. But Bluey, just watch it.
And again, stressing these are 6 to 8 minute episodes. There is no filler in these episodes. It is, here's a short vignette on a family.
On a family. And sometimes they're learning how to share. And sometimes they're learning how to continue to persevere when something is hard. And sometimes all these great lessons that you could use. So I don't know. I feel like 6 to 8 minutes in a classroom, throw on a Bluey and like it gives you something that you can talk about.
My buddy is like, they talked about Bluey.
We did talk about Bluey. Hashtag Bluey.
All right. Hey, Danielle, where can you be found online?
At Brostrom DA on social.
Excellent. You can find TCAP Soup on LinkedIn, Facebook, the artist formerly known as Twitter, and Instagram. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Cast, Podbean, CastBox, Overcast, Ballhorn, or wherever else you get your ear candy. Thanks for listening and inspiring. Wow.
See, there's a lot to unpack there.